Now a look at just how contradictory and unhelpful the U.S. healthcare system can be. Earlier this year, the Food and Drug Administration ruled that the drug Avastin should not be used to treat breast cancer. Efficacy and risk of side effects was the FDA's reasoning, but it angered thousands of women who believed that the drug was helping them. Turns out that the FDA ruling is not going to matter to private insurance companies. They are continuing to pay for the drug for breast cancer patients, since it's still on the market with FDA approval for treating lung, kidney, and colon cancer, so doctors can prescribe it. And despite the FDA ruling, the federal Medicare program will still cover Avastin for breast cancer. All of this has produced a fair amount of exasperation for our good friend Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, John. I don't know if I'd use exasperation exactly. More like eyebrow raising.
Well, give us a sense of what is it that disturbs you the most or raises your eyebrows the most about this contradictory set of messages for cancer patients.
Well, the heart of the issue for me in terms of cost is that, you know, we live in a country where everybody agrees that healthcare costs are out of control. And conservatives in particular, but most Democrats also generally believe that Medicare needs to be reformed. Again, for cost reasons. So here you have a drug that costs $90,000 a year. For the vast, vast majority of women, it doesn't work. And for some of them, it has serious side effects. The FDA has ruled it can't be marketed as a breast cancer drug, and yet nobody has the nerve to say we're not going to pay for it. So it's like if my whole point is, if you can't say no to Avastin, a drug like Avastin, then how in the world are we ever going to get cost under control in this country?
Well, Joe Nocera, what's the pressure on the other side? I mean, there are a lot of patients, we've talked to some on the program, who claim Avastin is helping them, and to have it withdrawn from them would be a death sentence. I mean, that doesn't have any scientific validity, but still, does that constitute pressure?
Hold on there. Before you say that, part of the problem here medically is that there is a very tiny segment of patients for whom Avastin is a big difference maker, but no one can predict who they are.
Uh-huh.
And part of the problem here, and Genentech keeps saying we think we can predict, but they have not been able to scientifically show that. And part of the problem in medicine in general is that there are lots of drugs like this that extreme drugs that help a tiny segment but are so unhelpful or even harmful to so many others that the benefits outweigh the cost outweigh the benefits. So that's one big problem here is that people are afraid to say, well, we're not going to pay for it for everybody because there is a tiny group for whom this may be helpful. We just don't happen to know who they are.
But why would Medicare, or why would a private insurance company, for that matter, want to pay for a drug that there's evidence doesn't really work?
Well, let's take them separately. Under the law, believe it or not, Medicare doesn't abide by FDA rulings. Under the law, Medicaid abides by these compendia of drug use put together by a variety of expert panels.
This is the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, one of these groups. Okay, right.
That's right, which has its breast cancer panel has 32 doctors, 9 of whom get paid in some way, shape, or form by Genentech.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So Medicare, and don't forget, Medicare also doesn't have the right to negotiate price. I mean, Medicare just has its hands cuffed by law. Now, the private insurance are in a somewhat different situation. What's going on with them is that, you know, they are viewed in society as these heartless corporations that cut off patients that need care, and the reputational risk and the PR risk is enormous. So, take California Blue Shield actually announced that it was going to cut off paying Avastin for the vast majority of women, except ones who are already on Avastin. So, what happened in response? That story came out on a Friday. By Monday morning, there had been such a furor, congressmen calling them, senators calling them, reporters calling them, breast cancer advocates calling them, that they basically backpedaled and said, never mind, we're mostly going to pay for it. So the reputational risk for these companies is just too high, so they'd rather pay.
All right, then two questions for you. One, if I'm a consumer, and whether I'm a cancer patient or not, and I'm trying to evaluate whether a drug is useful or not, I've got two messages. One, the FDA approval, and number two, whether an insurance company pays for it. It seems to me our system delivers the message that if insurance pays for it, it must work. You're saying that assumption is actually wrong.
I am saying that in a lot of cases. I am absolutely saying, and that is particularly true of cancer drugs. There are large categories of cancer drugs that do not extend life and they do not improve quality of life, but they are still approved as part of a treatment of chemotherapy. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with drug company lobbying. A lot of it has to do with other markers besides quality of life and extension of life that really don't, you sort of wonder why they're there. It has to do with the internal logic of oncology than with actually helping patients.
All right, we could turn it the other side, though, and say there's a kind of a freedom, magic of the marketplace kind of approach here, and if people want it and it's not going to hurt them and someone is willing to pay for it, why not let doctors have the freedom to prescribe Avastin off-label for breast cancer patients who really, really emotionally want it? What's wrong with that, Joe?
Well, that is the Wall Street Journal editorial page argument, and that is an argument a lot of conservatives are making, in part because they are so violently opposed to the FDA generally. What's wrong with it, John, is that if it were really a free market and they were paying out of their own pocket, that would be one thing. But the entire society is paying for it. And it's decisions like these, John, that are the fundamental reason why healthcare costs in the United States are so much higher than any place else in the world, and at the same time our longevity rate and health rate and all the other measures are not better. Because we're paying for things as a society that don't particularly work.
Right.
And that help, you know, that don't even help the individual patients they're supposed to be helping.
Can we, since you are one of our favorite economics guys, is there a number here? Do we know what Genentech is getting because of this decision by insurance companies to continue paying for Avastin?
Do we know how much Genentech's getting?
How much this is worth to Genentech?
It's probably worth $1 billion.
Really?
Avastin overall, I don't think it's the largest selling cancer drug anymore, but maybe it's number two, but it's a $7 billion drug for Genentech, of which the breast cancer component was about $1 billion.
That's more than eye-raising, but I won't characterize it as exasperation again. Joe Jonasera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Joe.
Yes, next time I will be your favorite economic columnist, not just one of your favorites.
Whoa, yes. Let's get him on the Colbert Show, too. Joe Nocera, right. Op-ed columnist.
Talk to you next week.
Talking about Avastin and the FDA's decision to withdraw it from treatment for breast cancer, but insurance and Medicare still continuing to pay for it.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.